God, praise God, praise God. All right, hallelujah. Praise God. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to the book of Acts tonight. Praise God. We're going to go to the Word of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Going to the Word of the Lord tonight. Praise God. All right. The book of Acts. I want to go to chapter 4. Book of Acts, chapter 4. Book of Acts, chapter 4 tonight. Stand with me, if you would, for the reading of the Word. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 31. And Jesus, it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that ought of the things, neither said any of them that ought of the things which he possessed was his own. But that they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Master, I ask you tonight for the next few moments, Lord, to anoint these lips of clay. Father, I pray that you would anoint our minds to understand and our ears to receive it and hear it tonight. God, cause this word to find its lodging place within each and every heart that's here. And we thank you and praise you for it. Reveal your word to us tonight. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. Praise God. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Now, I want to talk to you tonight about the growing and the going of the early church. Praise God. We talked the other night, Sunday night, we talked about a church that was needed. A New Testament church needed. A New Testament church was the name of the sermon, and tonight we're going to talk about along those same lines. We are talking, if you haven't realized it, for some time now, we are talking about the church. The Lord is just bringing messages about the church and about the growing of the church and about the unity of the church and about the power of the church and all sorts of things. And it all has to do with the foundation and the building of the church of the living God. Now, tonight, I want to talk to you about those same lines. Now, during that time, the church was on fire. Praise God. I mean, it started at the day of Pentecost. We know that in the upper room, there was 120 men assembled in the upper room. Praise God. And the Bible says that later we're going to talk about it. But they were all in one mind and one accord and in one place. Praise God. And the Holy Ghost was poured out. Praise God. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost rushed in as a rushing of a rushing mighty wind. Praise God. And it says they were all with one mind and one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Praise God. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Praise God. I want to tell you something. When you get the Holy Ghost, praise God, you're going to speak with tongues. Praise God. You're going to get that gift. Praise God. And hallelujah. And the Bible says that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Praise God. As the Spirit gave the utterance. And we've been talking about some of that as well. Now, it went from the 120 people there and all those in the courtyard. That day there was 3,000 souls added. Praise God. Now that didn't say 3,000 people. It said 3,000 souls were added. Praise God. There's a difference. There's a difference. I tell you, there's a lot of folks that play church. But the ones that are serious, praise God, and believe and go on to do what God tells them to do, praise God, There's the difference, and they did. Boy, there was a lot of baptizing going on that day. Praise God. We were talking about that just the other night. Praise God. Woo, there was a whole lot of swimming going on, wasn't it? Praise God. Now, praise the Lord. Now, I want us to just take a look. I want us to just kind of go back in our minds. Now, they had very few of the things in that day that we think are just absolutely necessary. I mean, we just got to have them. I mean, man, listen, we just can't make it without an expensive keyboard or piano, or we just can't make it without a PA system, or we can't make it without PowerPoint and laptop. Well, we can't make it without drums and guitars, and we can't make it, man, without a big fancy building, and we can't make it without a real nice big parking lot and securities and police officers and everything hanging out, and we can't make it without people directing traffic and all that kind of stuff. We can't make it without those things. I want to ask you something today, church. Why is it that we have more than we've ever had, and we're doing less than we've ever done in the house of God? I want to tell you right now. Listen, that is a question we need to pose to ourselves. Why is it we've got more than we've ever had, and yet we're doing less than we've ever done? What would Paul the apostle and Peter and the rest of the apostles have done if they could have got on a plane and flown around the country? I couldn't even begin to imagine what they could accomplish. I can tell you of a surety, they wouldn't have a Learjet. I can tell you of a surety, I know my brothers better than that. They're not a bunch of fancy damn people that be spending money that could be given to the poor and things like that, traipsing around on a private Learjet that costs thousands and thousands of dollars a mile to even fly the thing. And I know what they cost because I tried to charter one time. And that's been 25 years ago. And so I guarantee you, it'll blow your mind what it costs to fly a Learjet from here to Nashville, Tennessee. I tell you, 25 years ago, it was $10,000 one way. So I'm going to tell you, these big fancy preachers that's got two Learjets, and I know there's several of them on there that's got two Learjets, lots of them got one Learjet, and they fly all over the country. I want you to understand something. It's costing somebody a lot of scratch to fly them across the land because they don't want to stand in line and go through an airport. Nonsense. That's not the will of God. You didn't know where you can slice it up and prove that to me. Nevertheless, that's not what the message is tonight. Now, if the apostles had the automobiles, they'd be tickled to death. Man, I tell you what, man, to have him a Land Rover or something like that to get through that desert over, or a Humvee, look out. Man, I tell you what, man, they'd be burning their tires off. I guarantee you, man, they would run the motors plumb out of them vehicles because they were people that got busy. They were men that got busy about the gospel of the Lord. They were busy about their Father's business. And church, I tell you, just setting a little preface for this tonight, I want you to stop and think about all that they accomplished, that few people, what they accomplished. In 100 years, they went from 120 to a million people. In just 100 years, one century. They didn't even have a church building. They went from house to house. They didn't even have a building to have church in. They had the temple. They had the temple to go into and pray. Now, what did that church have that we don't have? What did that church have back then? What did the church have? And listen, these are not just questions that I want you to be thinking about these questions. I want you to be mulling these things over in your mind. Listen, we are the foundation of the church. And I want us to get a hold of these things because I don't intend to stay 8 people. I intend to grow. Praise God. And so I want everybody to be using their thinking caps, praise God, and to be talking to the Lord. That's what all this is about. That's what we need to be doing, is we need to be considering and we need to be pondering our path. We need to be pondering our future. We need to be seeking a vision. That's why we fast. And when you're fasting and praying, I feel you, Lord, when we're fasting and praying, and I tell you, this is in the perfect will of God. I feel the Holy Ghost all over me just talking about this right now. Listen, when we fast next Monday, I want you to seek God for and ask Him, Lord, give us vision. Praise God. Lord, lead me to people. Give me a vision for my personal walk. Lord, give the pastor vision for the church. Lord, help us to have vision for the church, how to grow it. Lord, help us to have vision. Lord, send us to those you want us to reach. God, Lord, help us not to waste our time. And I'm going to tell you, that's an important prayer. The devil will busy you with wasted time. He will waste your time. Oh, yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. You have to be very careful to keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your hand in His that He can lead you through. Cause your walk to be very effective. Spiritually cost effective, so to speak. So praise God, keep your eyes upon that and pray. We need to be thinking. We need to be praying. We need to be meditating upon the Word and meditating upon the Lord and seeking His will in our personal walk as well as the accumulative walk of the church, praise God. Now, what did the church have that we need? Number one, let's look at verse 31. Let's look at verse 31 again. When they had prayed, the place was shaken. The church was born in the midst of a 10-day prayer. 10 days. During that festival, that's a 10-day festival, and they prayed. It was 10 days of prayer and thanksgiving. It was 10 days of people getting together, and they were in one mind and one accord. And it was 10 days of prayer. During the midst of when the church was born. Praise God. And it says here in verse 31, 431, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. They were a praying church. They were a prayerful church. The place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And they spake the word of the Lord, of the word of God with boldness. Praise God. The Bible tells us that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Praise God. We're going to look at that a little closer here just shortly. They prayed, and the Bible says that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in 1:14 of Acts, flip over there, 1:14 of Acts says this. It says that these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. They were all together. Men, women, and children. They were all together and praying. I tell you, my wife and I have been having some good prayer time here lately. And even when I'm here praying and she's there praying, I can feel her praying. I know she's praying. And I tell you, you know, we need that. We need that unity in prayer. We need to be unified in prayer. There's something about unity. I want us to understand that that's part of being the family of God. That's part of being the family of God. That's why it's so important that we come together and pray. There's something about unity. Do you know that prayer binds you together? Do you know that prayer makes you one? It intertwines you together. Praise God. We are a bride. We are a bride. Praise God. We are the bride of Christ. Praise God. And the oil of the Holy Ghost, praise God, begins to move when you start working in unison. Praise God. And you come together. I'm going to tell you, that's when the Holy Ghost begins to move. And there's something about being filled with the Holy Ghost individually. Yes, there is. Oh, but there's something about the power of the Holy Ghost moving upon the multitude of God's people. Oh, praise God. When the Holy Ghost, see, I didn't even have to look at her. I tell you what, I knew she's fixing to move. Praise God. I knew y'all's fixing to move on that stage. I got my back to you, but the Holy Ghost is starting to move on me, and I can feel the Holy Ghost moving on me, and I know it's moving on that platform, praise God, and I can feel it come, and I can feel it go. That's the wooing of the Holy Ghost. It's that feeling you get that says, and it just begins to move on you. I can feel it all over me when I was playing that song earlier. Praise God. The other night, when the Holy Ghost began to move on that platform. Praise God. It fell all over me. Praise God. Like I was telling you, I just wanted to throw my guitar down and jump over that pulpit. Praise God. And take off running. But I didn't want to break my guitar all to pieces. But I tell you what. It's good to feel the presence of God. It's good to feel the presence of the Holy Ghost moving. Praise the Lord. I want us to be so in tune with one another. Praise God. I want to be so in tune. Do you know you can be so in tune that you know when something's wrong with somebody else?
Yes.
Come on, husbands and wives. Mamas and daddies and mamas and children's and, oh yeah, sisters. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes, sirree. That's how in tune we need to be in the family of God. That's how in tune we need to be in the house of God. Man, I tell you, we need to be so in tune that the Lord just says, pray for your sister. We need to be so in tune that, hey, he's plumb across town at work. And I know y'all are in tune. Y'all been married since Bully was a calf. I know y'all are in tune. Me and her's in tune. But I know you, the Lord just whispered to you, says, pray for your husband. All of a sudden, you just get that burden. And you just don't know what you're praying for, but you just begin to pray. You just begin to pray. Praise God, and God handles it from there. What?
And you know what bothers the other.
Oh, yeah.
What might upset them.
Well, sure. Yeah, I mean, you learn that. Yeah, that's just being together. I mean, you just learn one another. I mean, you can feel. You can answer each other's questions and finish each other's sentences, and that just comes with time and being together. I mean, you know. But I tell you, there's something about being in the family of God, and I want that closeness in this family of God. I want that closeness, praise God, that when you got a problem in the port, or you got a problem and you're not here, you got a problem and you're not here, praise God, that I've got the sensitivity in the Spirit, that the Spirit can speak to me. What would the Spirit say unto the churches? We are the church, praise God. What would the Spirit say unto us as the church? Praise God. And that, hey, when there's somebody in troubled in the Spirit, or somebody's troubled in the church, that we pray in unity for them. The Bible says, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. There's strength in numbers. And it's more complex than you think. There's much more strength. The Bible says a threefold cord. Didn't say just three strands. Three strands is three times the strength, but when you fold it, when you intertwine it, physics are involved, and it becomes enormously multiplied strength. Praise God, and that's how we need to be as the family of God. We need to be intertwined. Praise God, we need to be intertwined in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Bound together by the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Intermingled and bound together by the Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's going to take that to get us through to the end. I'm going to tell you right now. It's going to take the unity, not only pulling together, but it's going to take yoking up. I mean, it's going to take yoking up together. It's going to take binding together. Praise God. Hallelujah. You better believe it. You better believe it. I ain't kidding you, church. We've got to be a praying church. We've got to be a praying church. And I guarantee you that's where the power's going to come from. Being a praying church, a church that prays, a church that fasts, a church that is dedicated, a church that's dedicated, a church that's, man, I don't want a church that's medicated. I want a church that's dedicated. Amen? Come on now. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Boy, I almost hear the cricket singing. I tell you what, we do live in a medicated world. Look around you. People walking around sleepwalking. Don't even realize they're walking through this world. Praise God. Now, let's just take a look. Let me show you what prayer can do. Let me show you what prayer can do. Let's look over at Acts 12. Acts chapter 12. About this time, the king stretched out, Herod the king, stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, how many of you know that being rough on Christians turns the world on. Yeah. Persecuting Christians, cussing at a Christian, cussing in front of a preacher, getting rough with people over the pulpit, getting rough on churches, just turns this world on. It just really excites this world. Just like it did back in this day. The Bible says that because he saw it pleased the Jews that he killed James, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. This was a 7-day period of unleavened bread right here. And it says, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions. Or quaternions. The quaternions was a group of 4 Roman soldiers. There was 4 Roman soldiers per quaternion. And there was 4 of those. So there were 16 soldiers given charge over Peter. Now listen to this. To keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. He was going to kill him too, just like he did James. Remember, and they ended up killing him later anyway, but remember when the Lord told Peter, he said, yeah, you go where you want to now, but there's coming a time when you're going to want to go somewhere, but somebody else will gird you up and take you where you would not. In other words, where you don't want to go. And it said, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Listen, here's what made the difference. But prayer was made every once in a while. Every once in a while and just whenever they thought about it. What does it say? Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Praise God. I hope y'all pray for me. Because if y'all don't, I'm going to get real upset. I hope y'all pray for me every day. Because I need your prayers. I really need your prayers every day. Every day. And I can promise you that I pray for you every day. Every day. Every day. Church, what made the difference in Peter's situation was prayer. And the Bible says prayer was made without ceasing of the church. What's the church? The church was a lot of people right then. The church was a big number of people right then. You know, it is a pitiful, awful shame that we have divided ourselves into so many places. Because of unsound doctrine being preached all over the place. And because of that, you can't even yoke up with the people around the corners because they're preaching a completely different doctrine. And so you're not in unison. You're not lined up. The devil has succeeded in separating the church. He has succeeded in dividing the house of God. But back then, the church was freshly born. The church was new. The Holy Ghost abounded, praise God. There was power in the church, praise God. We've lost the power in the church of the living God because of division. And we should not be that way. This should not be so. But the Holy Ghost was moving back then. It was like a giant waters of Bethesda was troubled. I mean, listen, man, the Spirit was moving. And the church, the Bible didn't say a few people in the church. The Bible didn't say a couple of people that decided to show up. The Bible didn't say that. The Bible said that there was prayer made without ceasing of the church, the whole church, unto God for him. Woo, praise God. I would to God that the whole church is praying for me all the time. Hallelujah, because I sure do need it. And the Bible says, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping. Uh-oh, now listen. Here, let's look a little closer to this. Peter stayed in there that whole time. He didn't come flying out of there at the first sign of prayer. The Bible says that when Herod went for him, the same night Peter was sleeping, Listen to this. Between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison, all that security. All that security didn't amount to a hill of beans. Let's look what the Lord did. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. And a light shined in the prison. Boy, don't tell me God can't shine a light in the midst of a dark room. Don't tell me God can't get in there. Don't tell me the Lord don't know how to get into a prison. I don't care what kind of prison the devil's got you bound up in. I don't care what kind of hell the devil's been pushing you through. I don't care what kind of situations you've been facing. I want you to know God knows and God can get there. Praise God. God can get into the darkness of any prison and he don't have to have the key. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side. Hey. And raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. But he couldn't get out because his chains were too tight. Chains just fell off. The Bible says, and his chains fell off from his hands. I want you to understand this very clearly tonight. When it gets time for you to go, the Lord don't have to go barter and bargain with the devil. The Lord does not have to go bargain or beg somebody or plead your case. The Lord does not have to come in and ask for a key to take off what you're bound with. The Lord just walks in and it just falls off. Praise God. In His presence, it just falls off. Listen, He just walked up, didn't have to say a word. He said, let's go. And the chains jumped off of Him. When the Lord says, let's go, whatever's got you is going to turn you loose. I'm going to tell you right now. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. Understand. Uh-oh, here we go. Come unto me. There's that same scripture. Follow me. You're going to see that everywhere you go. You're going to see that everywhere you go in the Bible. You're always going to have to follow. You're always going to have to come. Now, he said, and he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true. He thought, this has got to be a dream, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city. Now listen to this. They got to the gate and they couldn't get out. It was too strong. It was too many locks on it. No. What happened? The Bible says they got to the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. The gate just opened by itself. I mean, the angel didn't have to say, open sesame. The angel didn't have to say nothing. They just approached the gate, and the gate prepared for them to come through. I want you to understand that tonight. Listen, man, we fight and we pray, and I'm talking to me too. I'm preaching to me tonight. You know, I'm preaching to everybody tonight, including me. I want you to understand something tonight. We fight. We kick against the pricks, and we fight, and we press, and all of those things. But the Lord, praise God, has got a plan for you. And when He comes to take you out, you're going out. You're going out. And everything obeys Him. There ain't nothing going to stand between you and getting out. When He's leading you, you're going through. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent His angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Must be nice to have daddy just come pick you up. Praise God. That's better than a limo. Sending an angel Praise God, that's better than a limousine. Absolutely. That's what prayer can do. That's what prayer can do. Prayer can send an angel into your situation of deliverance and bring you out. Praise God. And every door. Listen, when you're with the angel, you don't have to try to find the key. That's a good thing. Now, you know, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We know that. And it's good to find those keys to the kingdom to open them doors. But you know what? Oh boy, it's even better when the angel of the Lord itself shows up, praise God, and he's leading you through. He's got the keys. He's got all the keys. Praise God. So you ain't got to be searching and hunting for keys. Man, I mean, he just goes before you, and that stuff just opens out of his way. Praise God. It just opens up. He don't have to do nothing. He just walks and leads. As long as Jesus is leading you, he's not going to lead you to a locked door. Praise God. You just got to remember to get behind him. Let him lead the way. Don't try to get in front of him like you know what you're doing, because you don't. Don't try to play all genius and everything on God, because the wisdom of man is foolishness with God. As wise as we'll ever be is dumber than any rock in heaven. So don't even try to play that wisdom card with God. Now, they prayed with great faith, and it made them bold. The Bible said they spake with the word of the Lord with boldness. Praise God. They prayed so fervently that the Bible says that the building was shaken. Hallelujah. That's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing. Praise God. That's what I want in this church. Praise God. I want to pray with such fervency in this church that the building shakes. Hallelujah. Man, I'd love to see them pews just start shaking. Praise God, under the power of the Holy Ghost moving in this place. Hallelujah. People dancing and jumping in. Praise God, jumping in pews and walking on the pews. Praise God, and running them through the aisles. Hallelujah, and jumping over this. I tell you, I'm just looking forward to the days when everybody in this place is lit up. And I tell you, I've been a part of services like that many a time. And I tell you, ain't nothing like it. Praise God. And I'm looking for it. I know the move of the Holy Ghost is going to just grow bigger and bigger in this house. Hallelujah. And I tell you, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Praise God. But I know the Lord has a timing. The Lord has a plan. And that's how I want us to line up with that plan. And I know that God is trying to perform some things in us as a church. And that's good, because I don't want to be in a situation that we're not prepared for. Praise God. I want us to be prepared in every way for this church. Hallelujah. And for the work of the Lord. Prayer is vital to the church for it to move ahead. And we know that. Church that is not praying, I said already, is a playing church. I don't want to play church. I'm too tired. I'm too tired to play church. I'm going to have church. Praise God. You know, listen. If I was just doing this for a social club thing, I'd stay home. I mean, I'm too tired, man. But now, if it's for the real thing, if it's for the real thing, praise God, it's worth getting up and shouting about. It's worth going all the way for it. Praise God. Praise God. The church is powerless without prayer. We know that. Verse 32. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. Now understand that. You have to listen carefully to that. What they're saying is that none of them said that anything, not one thing that they had, was their own. None of them said that aught of anything they had. None of them said that any of what they had was their own. Listen to what they did. But they had all things common. They had all things common. Bible goes on down further and it tells us that they brought everything into the church at that time. Now these people were really committed folks. They brought everything. Some of them was pretty well-to-do folks. You can see, read into the history and read into the book. It tells you some of these folks had quite a bit of stuff. They brought houses, land, sold it. They put it all into the commonwealth. Understand, the kingdom of God is the commonwealth. There's a difference in a kingdom and a democracy. A kingdom and a republic. We live in a republic. We live in a democracy. Well, that's debatable, but we're supposed to be living in a republic. But I tell you what, the kingdom of God is that. It's a kingdom, and there's a commonwealth, praise God. There's no poor people in God's kingdom, I tell you right now. You may be poor living on this earth, But I tell you right now, you're rich in Him. Praise God. They ain't no poor children of God. Now, love caused them to share with others, and it did. Love enabled them to give to those that had need. They brought everything into the commonwealth. They had all things in common. And they gave everybody that had need, they gave everybody their sufficiency, whatever they needed. The Bible said over in John 13:35, by the love, the Bible said, let's look at that, John 13:35. It's a very powerful scripture. The Bible says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. He said before that, I give you a commandment unto you. He said that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Oh man, that's 87 messages right there. Just two scriptures right there. That's a lot of preaching right there. Love enabled them to put away their differences. Oh man, how powerful can the church be if you put away division? If you put away differences. Listen, it's okay to look different as far as your physical ability and all that. It's okay to have differences. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, we need to move in unison, praise God. We need to put away differences. We need to get into singleness of mind. We need to get in this right here. Be moving in one mind, one accord, one doctrine. One doctrine, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We don't need to be separated. We don't need any kind of separation in our beliefs. We need to be strong and steadfast in this word, praise God. We need to be sold out on that word, praise God. Hallelujah. And we need to have a love one for another. Church, I do love y'all with all my heart, and I appreciate y'all so much. And I know I may not tell you as much as I should. I do. I appreciate you so much. I love you so much, and I'm so thankful that God put us together. I mean that. You mean the world to me. All of you do. And man, I'm so thankful that you're my brothers and sisters, and I'm so thankful to be in this church and be a part of this family of God. I'm so thankful for that. And I just couldn't ask for any better people that God would have chose to send this way. And I'm so thankful for that. He's a good king, and I pray that He'll help me to be a good servant to Him and praise God and a good leader of the church. Praise God. Now, that kind of love that they had one for another, that kind of love brings revival. That kind of love that they had one for another, the kind of love they had for the Word of God, the kind of love they had for the Lord Himself, the kind of love they had for the truth. The Bible says that many people are not going to make it. Why? Because they had not a love for the truth. The Bible says that they're going to all, if they repent not, He said, they shall all likewise perish. Praise God. You know, the Bible says that because they had not a love for the truth. Church, there's so many people that don't want the truth. They just don't want it. It's not popular anymore because the truth means that they're going to have to deny this flesh. They're going to have to deny the flesh. They're going to have to deny all that garbage the flesh wants to hear. The flesh wants to hear everything goes. The flesh wants to hear anything's fine. The flesh wants to hear we're all going to heaven. The flesh wants to hear live any kind of way you want. You're still going to make it. The flesh wants to hear once saved, always saved. The flesh wants to hear, hey, can't we all just get along? The flesh wants to hear we're all going to the same place. We're just going different ways. The devil has concocted a million different ways to set God's people up and to set the people of this world up. To help them find security in other things. To help them tie themselves up with other things. Look at all the people that are bound up with money right now. Look at all the people that are bound up seeking riches and fame and fortune. Look at all the people that are bound up building mansions and building homes and building ranches and building big houses and building their business bigger and expanding this and buying more of that and getting more of these and it's just a snowball rolling downhill and people don't realize those things can't make you happy. They just don't buy happiness. I wonder if that fella Madoff, if he had a chance to go back, if he might do things different. Do you think that stuff really made him happy? It didn't make him happy. All that money never made him happy. He bought houses everywhere. He bought custom shoes and things and hundreds of prayers, and he built him houses everywhere. I was reading in Ecclesiastes today, and I've got a message that's coming. I don't want to step all over my message, but I'll tell you what. Yeah, I do. Turn over there to Ecclesiastes. Chapter 2. I want you to listen carefully. Solomon speaking. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. Verse 2 said, I said of laughter, it is mad, and mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly till I might see. Verse 4 said, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees. 6 says, I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. 7 says, I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house, and I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and peculiar treasures of kings and of provinces. I got me men singers and women singers. On down further, I was great. So I was great, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Verse 10 says, whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. He gave his eyes whatever he desired. I withheld not my heart from any joy. Verse 11 says, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. That word vanity means emptiness. Vexation of spirit means grasping after. Grasping after. You know what he was trying to do? He was trying to quiet the scream, the wooing of the Holy Ghost. He was trying to quieten it with something other than what was needed. There's a hunger that burns within a man for something. And if he doesn't know God, he'll never quench it, because what he's longing for is the Lord. But yet man will try to fill it with every single thing that he can. He will try drinking. He will try sex. He will try drugs. He will try games and sports. And he will try gambling. And he will try dangerous things. And anything he can get his hands on to try to fill that burning desire within himself. But he cannot ever quieten it. He cannot ever quench it. Because it's a fire that burns within. And it's the wooing of the Holy Ghost trying to draw him to the Lord. And until he finds the Lord, he will never quiet that voice. He will never quench that thirst. He will never satisfy that hunger. I have heard many a rich man say, money can't buy you happiness. I dare to say that rich men die the most miserable of all. Heard a man say one time, he was a very, very rich man. And as he laid on his deathbed, he said, when it comes down to death, all you got's family. That's it. Them $100 bills can't crawl up here in the bed and hug on you. Them $100 bills you've gotten saved up, all them houses you built, all them cars you got parked in the garage, all them fur coats you got for your wife, all that money you got stacked up, it can't crawl up there and say, can I get you something? Do you need a glass of water? Do you need an extra cover? Are you comfortable? Can I get you this? Can I help you? Is there anything I can get you to eat? Are you comfortable? All them friends are gone. All them friends are gone. When the party's over, they're nowhere to be found. When the money runs out, they're gone. Unless there's something they think they can get after you're dead, then they'll be hanging on you like fleas on a dog. That rich man said, hey, look at Howard Hughes, how he died. Richest man in the world at that point, I think. One of the richest. Died a miserable, lonely old man. Mystery surrounding his death. Never did know who he wanted to give his money to and all that. He was a lonely man. Sad. And his grave, here in Houston, I believe it is, just a little old plaque in the ground. Ain't no headstone, nothing, just a little plate. Buried next to his mom and daddy, I think, and his brother or something, I think it is. It's here in Houston. You know, that church began to love things above more than things here beneath. No doubt, Solomon found out the hard way that riches just ain't what it's cracked up to be. That church, the early church, they lost their love for earthly possessions. And so they gave it all to the Lord. They were a witnessing church, verse 33. Acts 4:33. And I'm getting ready to close pretty quick. Acts 4:33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And the distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Praise God. See, now they're getting into the building of the church. Now they're getting into the organization of the church and the setting up of the church body, and so on and so forth. And we're going to get into some of that very soon. Praise God. Now, the Bible says they spake all the words of God with boldness. With great power gave the apostles witness. Now remember Mark 16:15. The Bible said over in Acts 1:8. The Bible said, flip over there since we're so close. 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. It started in Jerusalem and went out from there. Bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger it got. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Mark 16:15, you know the scripture very well. I quote it a lot. Praise God. The Bible says, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Praise God. Also, the Great Commission. Praise God. 28:18-20. Go ye therefore in all the world, teaching all nations, praise God, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, which we know is Jesus' name. Praise God. Now, praise the Lord. All these things were fresh on their minds. Praise God. And they were reaching out. They were reaching out for the Lord. Closing tonight. We have the gospel, church, tonight. We have the gospel today because of those that were unstoppable. They would not relent. They would not quit. They would not give up. They would not give in. They would not throw down their sword. They would not put their Bibles away. They would not take off their armor of God. They would not sell out the name of Jesus. The Bible said, everywhere you look, they were not after the church. They were not after the synagogues. They were not after the temples. They were after the name. They didn't want anybody preaching or teaching in that name. And it's the same thing the devil's after now. And he's got most of it. Most churches don't preach in the name. He's already got most of them. And unless they come under the knowledge of the truth, which is back in that name, they're going to likewise perish. Period. You cannot make it without that name. That's what the devil's after. He's already succeeded in most of the churches. But there are still a few churches left that preach the name, that preach the power, that preach the Holy Ghost, that preach repentance, that preach baptism in Jesus' name, that preach all things in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. We are still under the same orders today. We still have the same orders today. We still have the same commission today that they had back then. We're still carrying the torch that was lit 2,000 some odd years ago. Praise God. It was lit, praise the Lord, at a hill called Calvary. Praise God. That torch was lit when he came out of that tomb. Praise God. And the apostles and the disciples carried that torch forth. Praise God. And they passed it down from generation to generation. Praise God. And family to family, household to household, church to church. Praise God. Country to country. Praise God. And land to land. And hallelujah. Here we are today. Praise God. And I'm still holding up the same torch. Praise God. That Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. I'm still holding up the same flame is still burning in me. Praise God. That burned in Paul the apostle. The same flame is still burning in me. Praise God. Hallelujah. That burned, oh God, way back then. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the same fire is still burning within me. The same truth is still true today. It has never changed. It ain't gonna change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. I want you to know, praise God, God is coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle, that have made themselves white in the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. And I want to be ready to go. Hallelujah. I want to be ready. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to look at one last scripture and I'm closing right now. Acts 17. Acts chapter 17. In verse 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. I want that devil to be screaming that from the housetop of every church we go to. Praise God. I want the devil to be screaming that from this church. Praise God. It's the same. It's the same bunch of people that turned the world upside down 2,000 years ago and they're on the loose again. Here they come. It's the same one. It's the same spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Stand with me tonight. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God.